Cornelius Robinson Coffey, the brown-skinned boy with a big name, was about 10 or 11 years old when in 1914 or 15, he looked up into the Arkansas sky and saw an exhilarating sight. A squadron of early flying machines passing overhead in the small river town of Newport. He realized then that people really could fly. Coffey was the youngest of three kids born to Henry and Ada Wright Coffey. His mother seems to have died early in Coffey's young life, and by 1910, the young family had moved in with their grandma, Cyntha Wright, Ada's mother. Henry was a railroad man, able to hook a train together and drive a steam locomotive between the station and the roundhouse where it was stored, and no more than that. In 1915, America was only 50 years out from the end of slavery. Even in the North, segregation was commonplace, and in the South, it was the law of the land. The racism of the time would not allow Henry to become a full-fledged engineer. With the dream of flight still years off, Coffey found a love of something closer to home, engines. He may have been inspired by the steam engines his father worked with on the railroad, but Coffey was most fascinated by the internal combustion engines that powered cars and motorcycles. When he was only 12 years old, Coffey taught himself to drive a Model T Ford automobile. The Model T, created by Henry Ford in 1908, was sturdy and easy to drive. The boxy black car rode high on spoked wheels and resembled a horse-drawn buggy without the horse. It took a complex process of 11 steps to start the 1914 Model T, including winding a crank to turn over the engine. And turning the crank took more muscle than young Cornelius Coffey could muster. As he described it, "I'd climb up on the crank, hold on to the radiator cap, and jump up and down until the engine kicked over." He used his new driving skills to get a job. "My spirit was kindled to go into a line of work where I wouldn't be bound by the limitations my father had to put up with," he avowed. "The car dealer in town hired me to show customers how to drive. Folks were so excited by their first car, they'd take lessons from a black child." Coffey's older sister, Vita, married a young man named Leander Walker, and in 1916, the couple moved three states away from Arkansas to Omaha, Nebraska. Leander worked there in a packing house and later on the railroads as a porter. Henry Coffey seems to have passed away about this time, so Coffey's older brother Vernon took him to live with Vita and her husband in Omaha, where Coffey became the only black student in his class. There, in 1917, 14-year-old Coffey somehow got his hands on a motorcycle, one of the popular Henderson four-cylinders. He'd already taught himself to drive a car. A motorcycle proved to be no challenge. He began earning a little money of his own doing special deliveries for the local postmaster for 8 cents a letter. In that same year, the armed conflict that had been raging in Europe since 1914 became the First World War, reaching America in the form of a draft. Vernon joined the U.S. Army to fight in France. Black men had served the young United States in integrated units as far back as the Revolutionary War. They served in the U.S. Navy throughout the 19th century. But after 1820, African Americans were banned from serving in the U.S. Army. That policy changed with the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863. But during the Civil War, black men were only able to serve in segregated units, and the same became true in the Navy as well. The Navy wouldn't allow black officers, and enlisted men were employed only in service as stewards, cooks, and deckhands. The Marines didn't accept black recruits at all.